B-Pod Studios.
Toucher and Rich are back on TV.
I really didn't know that.
Twitch.tv. Follow the Sports Hub. Watch and react with 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the party the finest swine in the land, the harbinger of the apocalypse, the official Hurricanes playoff good luck charm. He is Hamilton!
Corrali leans down for the faceoff against Stalls. Game two of the Eastern Conference Final is underway. Near point now, Johansson with a high slip. Feeds left to the net, fired. They score! At the bottom of the left wing circle with traffic out in front, able to squeeze one by Peter Mrazek. Bruins one, Hurricanes nothing. To the far point, drilled out in front, Mrazek the same, rebound, they score! Jacob Ross dumps it home, a power play goal, Bruins two, Hurricanes nothing. Out in front, Johansson, can't get the puck to settle, backs it up, centers it again, they score! Clifton with his first career Stanley Cup playoff goal makes it 3-0 Bruins.
The Bruins are going to Cup. Let's go!
Backus just stepped into Walmart and floored him. Coyle just trailed Fleury with a check and down he goes.
Bruins left.
Right wing feed behind everybody is Coyle into the right circle. Hands to Grizzly. Backhand. He scores! He's got two assists today. Sent out in front, Mrazek to save. Rebound. They score! Krejci sends it across the blue to David Backus, who pounds it in. 5-0 Bruins. Here's Bergeron. Might have a breakaway. Threads it out in front. Backhand. They score! Shoveled it by Mrazek, make it 6-0 Bruins. And the horn sounds, the Boston Bruins demolish the Carolina Hurricanes in game two. They win each of the first two games in the series.
.985 The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. We will get to the Esposito stuff in a minute, but first we were having a conversation off air.
Yeah.
And we were talking about, and Rich, okay, go ahead.
Well, yeah, I mean, just started with, you know, there's all this talk about Kyrie Irving. First of all, Stephen A. Smith yesterday completely shot down the rumor that the door was open, the one that Windhorse threw out there, that LeBron James and Kyrie Irving could have a reunion out there with the Lakers.
Anybody says, knock that down for us right now, please. He ain't going to L.A. That's what they say. From everything that I've been hearing over the last few days, Kyrie Irving is heading to New York City. Kyrie Irving is heading to Madison Square Garden with Kevin Durant. People in his inner circle are trying to bring the Nets into the mix. I am told that James Dolan himself has basically said, whatever the hell you want, I will move the hell out of the way. I will give you whatever you want. It doesn't matter. Okay, and said, I'll take care of you to the Kyries and the Kevin Durants of the world.
Then I'll play some tasty blues for you and honk on a bobo a little bit. You'll
Ooh,
enjoy it.
Boy, can you smell that?
So Kyrie Irving
Ooh,
and...
That's the stinky blues.
Some sweet down Delta blues. So they're good friends, Kyrie Irving and Anthony Davis, and they want to play together, and we've known that for a while. So I was asking Wallach, if indeed the Knicks get the number one pick, would they ever trade it to get Anthony Davis to the Pelicans? And your answer was kind of what I expect, and that was
hell no. Because, and I'll tell you why. It's because, now listen, Zion Williamson is 6'7", okay? I'm not positive how good a player, he's 6'6", actually. I'm not positive how good a player he is or what he's going to be in the NBA. But from a marketing standpoint, there's no way you can't keep him. If you draft him, I mean, you're automatic. I mean, he's going to be a superstar.
The other fact, that's a very good reason. And the other reason is, I don't know if the Knicks have anyone on their roster that New Orleans wants. I mean, yeah, you would get the number one pick and
Who's
Zion
that kid?
Williamson.
Knox, the rookie?
Kevin Knox is nice. Yeah. It's a nice piece. Well, the story was thrown out there. Starter in
the
league.
But the story was thrown out there that the Pelicans really like this guy. And I think that's something that, everyone's got agendas for putting these stories out there. But I mean, there is a, I think that if they truly wanted to find a way to get Anthony Davis, they'd be able to figure out some sort of way. I agree with you. The number one pick. Now, if they got the number two pick, that might be a different story.
Maybe.
And you were talking about with the Celtics tonight, the way it's going to work out with the draft lottery is that Sacramento pick, if it's basically 2, 3, 4,
or 14,
or 14, then they get to keep it. And I was looking at the chances that the Celtics would have a pick in the top four. So they have a 1.1% chance of getting the number two pick, a 1.2% chance of getting the third pick, mm-hmm. and a 1.4 chance of getting the number four pick, which means altogether they have just under 4% of a chance of getting a top four pick.
Now,
so it's a pipe dream, essentially, that you're going to be able to get.
Of course. And the other thing to watch is the Memphis pick. Memphis is 8. If they slide back one, it becomes the Celtics' property. If it's 8 or higher, Memphis gets it. So if anyone behind Memphis hops into the top three, Memphis's pick slides back, and the Celtics get pick number 9. Right now, they have picks 20 and 22. They have their own, and they have the Clippers pick. So theoretically, you could wind up with 9, 14, 20, and 22. Does that mean anything?
No.
Probably not.
Well, 9 might be all right. But I'll tell you this, is unless you have one of the top two picks in this draft, I think it's all jumbled.
I would agree.
Yeah, I don't think R.J. Barrett is anything incredible.
I think R.J. Barrett's better than you do, but is he a top five pick in a lot of other years? Probably not.
Right.
This is supposedly a weak draft.
It's very weak.
A lot of people love Zion Williamson. They love this kid, John Morant, who had a triple-double in the NCAA tournament out of Murray State. And those are supposedly the two guys.
Yep. And then everything else is kind of jumbled all together.
It's kind of weird.
Depending on where you look.
It's kind of weird the way things line up for the Celtics. And Midday Show brought this up yesterday. Things are kind of backwards for the Celtics. Kyrie Irving doesn't have to make his decision or physically can't opt out until July 1st. The draft is a week before that, 2 weeks before that. So if you're going to make a trade for Anthony Davis on draft night, suppose you do get the number two pick in the draft and you want to trade for Anthony Davis, you have to do that without knowing if you're going to get Kyrie Irving back. That's a dangerous game to play.
Here's what I love. As far as all the rumors that are being floated out there, there's one that I think is pretty fantastic, that the Knicks, it's not just Kyrie Irving that they're taking a look at from the Celtics. There's a couple other players that they might want to cherry pick right in the middle of free agency. And the two are, to me, the funniest because they want Marcus Morris, according to Sherrod Blakely. He says that a source tells him that the Knicks want Marcus Morris and Terry Rozier. Now, if I could think of two players that seem to have the biggest problem, other than Jaylen Brown, with Kyrie Irving and how things ended, Rozier seems to be one of them. Because what was his big complaint? Kyrie Irving is taking away Terry Rozier's time of being a star.
No, Rozier is the guy. Like, he's far and away the guy that didn't like Kyrie being.
Nobody sacrificed more than him. Remember
he
said that?
He went crazy after the season. he was miserable the whole year.
How great is that?
I know, but
put them together again. How awesome would that be? And Marcus Morris is like the one guy who was bitching about like the chemistry of the team and he didn't like it. And he you could tell he was like the anti-Kyrie Irving. Now, I don't know if they truly hated each other. I just know he hated that environment that was being, I guess, tossed around the locker room.
Rozier's not in control of his own destiny. He's a restricted free agent, so it would be offer sheet, Celtics match or don't match. It's not as though he can go out and shop for teams. So suppose the Knicks offer him 4 years at $60 million.
And Danny just goes, cool, man.
He said, cool, take it.
And then
Rozier, they go get Kyrie also.
Oh, my. I wonder if he would actually cry.
That would be unbelievable. I mean, listen, I don't obviously root for that to happen, but it would be funny. Like, that would be really, really funny. After all this bitching and moaning.
I mean, he's going to make millions and millions of dollars. It's not like he's getting thrown to the wolves.
But, I mean, just out of all the complaining and all of the, I want to show my talents, I was held back, nobody suffered more than I did. For you, once again, the one team that you go to is in the same exact position you were with the Celtics, right behind Kyrie Irving.
And in New York, nothing bad will happen.
Would be hysterical.
Right, because Morris was disappointed in the fact that he probably, as a veteran, thought that this was a great chance to swing for a title.
Dude gave everything. Right. He had the right attitude.
Right. So
you can go,
understand why the Knicks would want a guy
that. Yes, and I think that if he was with the Knicks and that they had a chance to compete, he'd be fine. Rozier would lose his effing mind. Rozier, it would be a Twilight Zone episode for Rozier. Oh, would he hate it? I mean, far and away. I mean, I think you put Marcus Morris on any team that's, you know, that needs him and he's got a chance to win. But, oh, no, Terry Rozier. I wonder if he'd even accept the ring if they won the championship. He might just be like, keep it. I don't need this crap.
I don't need it.
All right. Phil Esposito, again, the man who walks away from the mic when he's doing color for the Tampa Bay Lightning games. He likes to go on Public Affairs Show and talk about the issues that affect all of us. We will have that for you in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
There's someone very special I want you guys to meet.
Tucker and Rich.
I just want to tell you both good luck.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We're Tucker and Rich. Phil Esposito, when he wasn't rocking Sassoons and carving up the ice in Sassoon commercials when he was in New York with Ron Duguay. He calls the Tampa Bay Lightning games. He is the color commentator. We've had fun with that. He basically, his analysis is, oh boy, oh Jesus Christ. But little did we know that there is a public affairs show that airs on the internet.
Yep, and they talk about all the issues of the day, including global warming.
Glaciers that are melting, they say that... That is so full of that the glaciers are melting, Phil. You fucking ass.
So, I don't know why they have Phil Esposito talking about global warming, but I'm glad they do.
Yeah, he just, the great thing about that clip is that he just immediately, like, he's like, ah, and then out of nowhere, he just goes, F you.
I think back when I was a kid, 12 years old, it was 1955, 56. 54. It was hotter than hell in the soup.
That's why global warming doesn't exist.
Right. Well, maybe that was the case, and now it's not.
Of course, let's us go solar, and every other country do.
No, I don't agree with that. I don't believe in going solar.
All right. Well, they've obviously researched these topics very well.
What's wrong with those people?
Sure.
All right. So, Rich, what was the topic this time?
Well, I mean, listen, they talk about everything on this show, and there's years and years worth of archives. So, shall we talk about the time that Charles Manson wanted to get married?
Well, he was incarcerated.
He was in jail.
Okay.
Charles Manson. If you remember the story,
there was straight from the headlines.
There was a lady who wanted to get married. This time it's special because Esposito actually in the studio.
All right.
And by the way, it's great. In front of them are like, they're all drinking wine. His is like empty, and it's like this giant goblet. Like Esposito's like, don't mind if I do.
Yeah,
just crushing it.
I love Esposito doing those games, but if you had to ask me who was the most likely broadcaster to be drinking, it would be Esposito.
Mm-hmm.
Like Len Dawson, I guess, used to make these gigantic gin and tonics when he did the
Stuff
Kansas
of
City
legends
game.
Of Len Dawson.
All right, so here we go.
And Charles Manson's getting married next Tuesday.
Can you believe that? Finally. That guy, they should have killed him.
Okay. He's very upset about the Manson family murders.
I'm Can just you believe saying. That?
But
that
the point is some 26-year-old lady has fallen in love with a mass murderer.
She wants her name.
She's
a moron. Here's my
point. She's a moron.
Anna has been in jail.
Wait, you are telling me that the 20-something-year-old woman who wants to marry an incarcerated Charles Manson is weird? Gentlemen, look out, because there's going to be a lot of blowback from that thing.
There's a ledge you're going off of here. I need to pull you back.
Ah, she's weird.
She's kind of weird. Not Everett weird.
No.
That'd be weird.
You're telling me the woman that wants to marry the very, very insane Charles Manson, who has got life. I mean, he goes up on parole, but now he's dead. But, yeah, she's odd.
Yeah, it was late 60s.
39 years.
40 years.
People in the United States have supported this son of a bitch in jail.
Yeah, but he's a, and you know what?
And he can get married and I'm single is all I'm saying.
But here's a guy.
Yeah. That's who it is over there?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Look at him.
Well, she's okay looking, too, right?
He's 80 years old.
Sure. Oh, boy, you're right. They have goblets of red wine, and Esposito's is just, like,
gone.
Yeah. That,
and the rest of them, it's all, like, pretty full, but gone.
Yeah, he just said, who needs it? What the hell is this show?
I don't know, but it came from God.
It's they're, like, in front of a green screen.
Oh, it's in the green screen's, like, supposed to, like, a news studio?
Yeah, but it's all, it looks like a news studio if you took off Wong's glasses.
What?
It's like forest quality. No,
it's like blurry and you can't see anything?
No, you can't see anything.
It's all right. I can identify with that.
It's mounted blur.
And it looks like a low-rent version of, like, Goodfellas. Like, all these guys, like there's one dude, like, two guys said, I'm showing up with jackets. And one guy says, I'm just going to wear, like, a sleeveless parka vest.
Yeah, he's
going
to wear it Back to the Future.
Right. It's the Marty McFly.
Oh, boy.
It says Canadian written all over us.
I mean, this is great. It's a Canadian public accent.
Honest to God.
How did they get him to do that? I don't understand why he's doing this.
I mean, he's a Hockey Hall of Famer.
Yeah, one of the best goal scorers in history.
Why is he doing this?
I don't know.
You don't need this. I'm glad you are. Don't stop. But why are you doing this?
How many views does this have?
79. And I think at least 6 of them are me.
When did they post it? Now, the key is, when did they post this thing?
I mean, this one is from years ago.
Okay, so this is 79 views in like a decade.
This is 5 years old. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, if you do the math.
Okay.
You know, what is that, like?
One every 47 days?
15 a year or something like that?
What debatable topic is that, too? This broad's crazy. Yeah.
That should be the name of the show. This broad's crazy. They just, like, name people.
F people. I remember in Saskatchewan it was hot as F and L. All right, so
Charles Manson's getting married next Tuesday.
Can you believe that?
You can almost feel him swaying.
Well, you can see him swaying if you watch the video.
There's a lot of room at that desk, too. They got four
crammed together.
They got four guys that, like, you know, in elementary school, the guest did.
There's four dudes and a guy on the phone. It's like five people just talking.
Yeah, well, that's why it's so easy to understand what they're saying.
God.
Look at him.
Well, she's okay looking, too, right?
He's 80 years old. And he's marrying this cute little broad.
Yeah, but she's got
an idiot.
This cute little broad.
Did he just say he's an idiot?
No, I think she's an idiot.
This cute little broad.
Yeah, but she's got
an idiot.
I don't know. They're all talking over it.
They're all talking and yelling. I'm not quite sure who's saying what.
Next Tuesday.
Can you believe that?
Maybe that should be the name of the show. Can you believe this?
That should be what it is. Can you believe this, S?
So we move on to the next topic.
They take the topics of the day and just swear about
them. I'm telling you, you need to get, like, you got to get Heinsohn in there.
Oh, Heinsohn fit right in.
He's the youngest guy of the four.
Yeah, he just has a big birthday cake in front of him. Oh, yeah.
Now we're talking. So then they go on to the next topic, and this topic is about something that maybe he knows a little bit about, and that's the refs in hockey.
All right, here we go.
Is it me, or has the officiating gone to f***ing s***? They allowed a goal that should have never f***ing been allowed.
And there's no doubt that goal just changed that whole game, maybe changed the entire series.
Why the f*** did officials on some plays...
What's going on?
Wow.
This is just like if you were in middle school making a tape that you didn't want your mom to hear. They just figured out how to swear.
I mean, they're kind of jamming them in, aren't they?
Yeah, this is not like a natural flow of conversation.
I got to find out if there's any way we can propose topics. Like, hey, I really want to find out what Phil thinks about millennials.
Oh, I mean, come on. Tee it up.
Good for nothing, mother.
Right. Yeah. She's like, what do you think about show horses? When I was a kid, you rode an effing horse.
Now these show horses, they think they're better than us.
Sitting there, oh, what a pretty mane. Must be so nice. They look like broads. Can't fancy my ass. Oh, what a fancy cat. Effing you.
Is it me, or has the officiating gone to f***ing s***? They allowed a goal that should have never been allowed.
And there's no doubt that goal just changed that whole game, maybe changed the entire series.
Why the f*** did officials on some plays, they blow the whistle like, pre-ejaculation. And then...
Now you're talking my language, kid. I remember when that used to happen. Now it takes about 6 or 7 blue pills.
Somebody said they found... I didn't hear this, but when they're talking about that woman who was hooking up with Charles Manson, did one of the guys say I'd hit that?
Probably. They were saying she was a good-looking broad.
I'd hit that, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, they lose the whistle.
It's not f***ing reviewable. That changes the complexion of not only the game, the f***ing series. And there's too much money out there to have these guys f*** it up all the time.
Well, there you go.
There you go. By the way, somebody said new bit. Who has more YouTube channel views, Philip Esposito or Xanadude?
That's a
good question.
That's neck and neck, because Xanadude has not blown up the internet.
So that right there, that clip right there has 79 views, the Charles Manson one. Let's see what Xanadude's latest video has. I will click on the one from Bruins. Okay, 5-2. 127 views for Xanadude.
Oh,
Xanadude with more hits. Hang on. Let's go to line one.
All right. Let's go to line one.
Aaron, what's up, man?
Hey, what's going on? I don't know how you guys missed this, but if you go back to the Charles Manson clip, you can clearly hear I'd hit that.
Now, is that Esposito saying that, or is it one of the other guys?
I don't know. I just tuned in, but I definitely heard that. So,
all right, let's review it. All right, here we go.
And Charles Manson's getting married next Tuesday.
Can you believe that?
Finally,
that guy, they should have killed him.
I'm can you believe saying. That?
But that the point is some 26-year-old lady has fallen in love with a mask.
He says with chlamydia. He did say
he
that.
He said with chlamydia? Yeah. I didn't hear that.
Oh, yeah. All right. I'm positive.
Can you believe saying. That?
But
that
the point is some 26-year-old lady has fallen.
Okay, that was Esposito.
I think he said who's an idiot.
Oh, I okay.
Lady has fallen in love with a mass murderer.
No, I think Fred's right.
She wants her name.
She's a f***ing moron. Here's my point.
She's a moron.
Anna has been in jail for 30
years. Yeah, it was late 60s.
39 years. People in the United States have supported this son of a bitch in jail.
Yeah, but
and he can get married and I'm single is all I'm saying.
But here's a guy.
Yeah. That's who it is over there. Oh, my God.
Look at him.
Well, she's okay looking, too, right?
He's 80 years old. And he's marrying this cute little broad.
Yeah, but she's got
an idiot.
Yes!
I did that!
Good call!
I mean, the U.S. people have coddled Charles Manson.
All right.
This cute little broad. Yeah, but she's...
Hear the headline.
Look at him.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Listening at home to Toucher and Rich is simple with your Amazon or Google smart speaker.
Oh, I need one of those.
Just say, play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Five Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, is Matt Porter? Do you know who Matt Porter is?
Writer, correct?
Yeah. Does he? He doesn't. Wouldn't fly with the team, would he?
No.
Because he writes for the Globe, so you wouldn't.
No, he would fly separately.
Okay.
Maybe he flew down like Beers did on Bear Force One.
Do you think he flew down on Bear Force One? But that was a. Bear Force One is a commercial airline.
Yes, correct.
All right.
So, I think they had Beer specifically take that flight because he was a member of the Bruins broadcast team, what have you, but usually the broadcasters go down on the plane with the team.
Oh, so they forced him to rub elbows with the
honest to God, Beers was so uncomfortable. The Bruins actually posted this video online of Beers at the gate. I think it was C Terminal at Logan Airport and welcoming people. He took the thing that the gate attendant usually has and like clicks on the.
Oh, he had to love that.
He's talking. Everyone said, hello, Bruins fans, attention in the gate area and welcome to Bear Force One. And he was just that wanted no part of it.
Again, that should be the new goals song, Bear Force One. Man.
So, yes, if Porter flew down, it was separate from the team.
Okay, so he was probably on this, because it was a JetBlue flight, so he probably was on this Air Force.
That would be a good guess, yes.
All right, but there are also civilians on the plane,
yes,
I would imagine.
Correct.
All right, so you're going to Raleigh, and you're sitting there on the plane, and first of all, there's a Bruins mascot, that's fun, and then you realize, okay.
Blades.
Yeah, Blades, and so you realize that, okay, this is going to be, neato, it's got Bob Beers on it. Dan's telling me Cam Neely might have been on the plane, but they hand out these towels.
Yes,
and then this erupts.
Come on, everyone! Where's those towels? There we go. Nice. Let's go, Bruins! You guys are a good luck charm.
And everyone,
yay,
starts waving towels.
We're waving the towels, but we're not going to say a bit of sound
now
when we wave them.
That is the way to fly, baby.
All right. So this is a requiem for Fred being pissed on flights. Okay, I got it.
Okay. Is the way that you can tell these are sophisticated people.
Yep.
That is the way to behave when they start telling you to do things. They hand out props. Only 10 people do it in the whole plane.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yeah. That is the way that you handle yourself. I have never been more proud of the Boston media as to refuse to wave that towel. I don't understand why there has to be interruptions. I know we've discussed this before, but I have no idea why they have, like, your job. That's like you get into a cab,
mm-hmm,
and the guy starts, like, playing Scattergories with you. I mean, no, your job.
The pilot isn't doing it. It's the people who are riding.
Or, okay, they had a hype man in the passenger seat.
Yeah.
Just sits there. Like,
how about this trip?
Yeah, playing, like Boggle. I mean, no, yeah. Your job is to get me to point A to point B.
Yeah. And they're not having any trouble doing that. It's the towels aren't deterring them from their task.
No, but there's no need for frivolity on a plane. A plane is a place of silence.
Do we know that they were in the air when this happened?
I don't care if they were in the air or if they had not left the tarmac.
How
yet.
Does anyone waving a towel deter your enjoyment or lack thereof of this trip?
Because I'm telling you, it doesn't. They, as an audience, I just called them an audience, which tells you everything you need to know.
Uh-huh.
And they, as passengers, decided to say, we're not doing it. I mean, listen again. This is I'm very proud of the Boston media and whoever else was on that flight.
Come on, everyone. Where's those towels? There we go. Nice. Let's go, Bruins. You guys are a good luck charm.
Yeah, good old-fashioned silence. good old-fashioned leave it alone. God bless them all.
There were some fans that decided to wave the towels. They were probably going down for the game. And there were some fans that are like you, Fred, just don't like to be messed with.
Oh, I don't mind if you wave the towel. I don't care. You wave the towel for a couple minutes.
There you go.
And then you torture poor Bob Beers. Bob Beers did not want to do that.
No, hell no.
There's no way.
Beers wanted to be on the drive the Hanscom and get on that flight. Yeah. He wanted no part of this commercial jet.
It was bad enough that you put him on the plane.
Yeah.
But then you're going to make him do stuff. I'll give you this. Bob Beers is not the most the guy who likes to stand in front of a crowd.
He does not suffer fools gladly,
no.
Bob Beers.
I've never seen him overly happy. Bob Beers in the now.
I've seen him happy before.
When
have you ever seen him on the first tee box at any golf course on the road?
No, no. How the hell?
Very happy guy.
How the hell would I have done that?
No, have you ever seen him when he enters the local tanning salon? Very happy guy.
Do they still have tanning salons?
I don't know if they do it.
I need to get my.
I'm thinking. Look, Brickley is orange during the winter.
Yeah.
There has to be a tanning. He doesn't get away every weekend during hockey season. There has to be a tanning salon somewhere.
I would imagine
there's one right near Nesson in Watertown for easy access.
He's got that spray tan going on, I would guess. Because I need to start getting the spray tan because it's stupid vitiligo.
You don't want a spray tan.
I got to get it done for the vitiligo on my head.
No, but you'll look weird. I mean, you will if you get the spray tan.
It looks weird to have vitiligo.
You see, I sit across from you every day. Now, granted, we're, 8 feet apart?
Yeah.
I don't see it. I can't see it from here. And ever since you started bringing it up, I'm constantly looking and I don't see it. It's not nearly as noticeable as you think it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean,
don't get a spray tan. Don't give in.
This is the
come on.
This is the money maker, and I got to make sure.
Exactly my point, sir.
All right.
People want the gray beard. They want the jowls. They want the vitiligo. They want the whole thing.
That's right. They want the vitiligo. Scott, go ahead.
Yeah, I got two things here. I'd like to be the guy or the woman that maybe paid last minute money heading to Raleigh for an emergency or a funeral.
Right.
And they're telling you to wave a towel and cheer for the Bruins, and you have nothing to do with the Bruins.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Exactly.
They chartered, unless it was a chartered plane. That's different.
Now,
you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but do you think they could have chartered a plane those people? I mean,
No.
I think they took a shot. Hey, let's wrap this plane. It's a Raleigh flight. 70% Bruins fans on it. I'm with you on this one, Fred. But have they changed the name of the plane yet? Because Jim Murray was all over this yesterday.
Oh, Bear Force One?
Yeah, it's been taken already.
Yeah, that's
it. Yeah, no, he was all over it on social media. He's like, yeah, Bruins is not a good idea.
Why not?
And here's why.
I kind of take the band.
Yeah, I mean, listen, why not? That's not good. Yeah. Thank you, Scott. I mean, why not? What's so bad with Bear Force One?
There's nothing wrong with Bear Force One.
Is everyone announcing now they're not fans of burly, hairy men? Listen, Bear Force One. You fly that bad boy all around. You got some muscle on that thing. Well, good for people on that plane not going crazy. We will be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Listen, watch, react in real time. Toucher and Rich are on twitch.tv. Just follow the Sports Hub.
985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. You can watch us on twitch.tv or get the Twitch app. Tonight, only place you can hear the Bruins game is right here. 7:30 pregame, 8 o'clock face-off. They'll be doing that. You can hear Bob Beers, who I'm sure is still thrilled about having to get into the PA system at the airport.
And then, of course, he has to go to Raleigh. You know?
Yeah, which I'm sure he's super psyched.
Sure.
All right. So here's the deal. This is from the Toronto Sun. Fatigue is setting in with the Carolina Hurricanes, but it's more mental than physical. While they needed a Game 7 to get past the Washington Capitals in the first round, this is a team that has been playing what has felt like do-or-die games since the start of January just to get them in the playoffs. 4 months later, it's finally catching up to him. Quote, it looked like we were really tired, head coach Ron Brind'Amour said a day after losing 6-2 to the Bruins, and we've only played 2 games in 10 days, but I think the mental fatigue got to us. It was a really strong push by our guys for about 4 months, and it just felt like we didn't have that extra gear that we needed at this time of year. How does it just, you play 2 games in 10 days. I mean, the season's long. I mean, the Bruins went to 7-6 games. And by the way, the Bruins went on a huge winning streak too. Now, so at the very end of the, and by the way, that you're positioning yourself for the 2 seed. You know what I'm saying?
I understand the Carolina point of it is that they were not even close to a playoff spot at the beginning of the new year. And then, as our great analyst told us before he hung up on them, they started putting the puck in the net.
Yeah, and oh, yeah, that's right.
They started putting the puck in the net, and Nino Niederreiter was a big addition. I kind of get the fact that Carolina was playing, you know, mash the gas to make sure that they made it into the playoffs. But the other part of it is they played a Washington Capitals team that clearly didn't take them too seriously, you know, defending Stanley Cup champions, and they got caught at home in Game 7. Then Carolina played a New York Islanders team that wasn't necessarily very good. And now they're playing a Bruins team that is good, and they are taking them seriously. I think it's more matchup-based than anything else. Carolina just flat-out doesn't have the talent.
I just don't understand. If you're getting that many days off, and how is that making you fatigued? Now, it could make you complacent, or it could make you that you didn't have your legs under you. I don't understand how, you know, just because... I mean, I know that they had 2 games in 10 days, but no, that's exactly what you... You can't complain about mental fatigue at that point. Since back in December, they were one of the... Okay, it's easy to forget mostly because they look good against the Capitals and Islanders, that the Hurricanes weren't a shoe-in to make the playoffs this year. They weren't even close. They were one of the worst teams in the league in December. Carolina won 8 of 12 games in January. How many did the Bruins win? And went 10-3-0 in February, followed by a 9-6-1 run in March. Wow, that's very impressive. With the season on the line, the team won its final 3 games to lead past Columbus and Montreal, finishing in 7th place in the East. This takes its toll, something that we're starting to see in the conference final against a Boston team that a playoff spot locked up pretty much in January. It's been a concern, said Brind'Amour. I'm shocked that we've gone this far without having that mental fatigue. From January 1st, we've had to get in playoff mode, and we had to grind these guys. There are only so many times you can go to the well before they don't respond. Now it happened the other night. So I don't understand that. I don't understand how having time off doesn't matter. I don't understand how playing a crap team in the last round doesn't matter. I mean, if they just come off the Capitals series, I'd be like, okay, I understand what Game 7 you played and you beat a far superior team to you. I'd understand that. But then they just had a cakewalk. That seems like excuse making.
Agreed.
I mean, it doesn't make any sense. Just the Bruins are a better team,
mm-hmm.
and they're playing well, and their depth is showing.
Now,
and you don't have a goaltender.
Well, I mean, that's just it. I mean, that's the great equalizer. I mean, Curtis McElhinney has been a journeyman his entire career. I'm assuming McElhinney's going to start. If Rod Brind'Amour runs Peter Mrazek back out there, I don't know what he's doing. But say McElhinney does start, and all of a sudden he catches fire. You've seen it happen with no-name goaltenders. Then things are different. Then things change. But everything you read, everything you've seen in this series after the first 2 periods of Game 1 leads you to believe that the Bruins aren't just a little better. They're a lot better than this team and shouldn't have any trouble taking care of them quickly.
Even though they're so mentally fatigued.
Yes.
Even a Bruins team that had to go to Game 7 and a team that was probably about their equal, and then they had to win in 6.
In a very physical series.
In a very, very physical series against a team that had just beat one of the great regular season teams of all time.
By the way, did you see this tweet from a writer for your favorite newspaper, the Charlotte News and Observer? He wrote, his name is Andy Specht. He put, losing by 6 is embarrassing. Obviously talking about the Canes game the other day. He says, but it's not as embarrassing as Boston's lack of success over the past 4 decades.
The Bruins only have one Stanley Cup since 1972. Shoot, the Carolina Hurricanes have that many, and they've only been around since 1997.
That's right.
And I'm just a big fan of, it's not as embarrassing as Boston's lack of success over the past four decades.
Why would it?
Listen, it's been nothing but crying around here.
That guy doesn't cover sports. I saw that. That guy's like a news guy. It's like when you bring one of those news anchors to cover the Patriots when they reach the AFC Championship game and they've never covered the Patriots before and think they can ask Bill Belichick questions and they get answered. I mean, this guy obviously has dropped himself into a situation he doesn't know a lot about and just looked and went, oh, okay, I'll just jot this off and send it out.
I never, ever, except for the Cubs, go after a fan base. I think it's corny. I'm even in a Taibbi book because I went on the Chicago radio station and said, like, what do you care? I really don't like this fan base. I don't like who covers them. I don't like them. First of all, what does he say? Gosh? What does he say?
Shoot.
The Carolina Hurricanes have that, man.
When was the last time you said shoot? Oh, shoot. Fiddlesticks.
cinnamon and gravy.
It's like all this like unnecessary pandering. And I hate that I'm doing it. I just don't like them. And by the way,
peaches. Now I'm just quoting Will Ferrell.
Well, who cinnamon cares? Go ahead.
I'm going to be thinking about that for a
while.
That's
one of the great
all-time skits that never aired.
That never aired. Because I'll show you this this thing that someone sent me. It's from a listener, so I just thought it was funny. This Chris, HBO backs you up. V, pretty funny show. You probably already talked about it on the air, but in the series finale last Sunday, Selena is in Charlotte, North Carolina for the Democratic National Convention, and while she's ripping on one of her ex-staff members, a new a-hole, she yells, "I didn't come to Charlotte to lose. I don't even like to change planes here." So I'm not breaking new ground here. But it's like enough with the, like, bless you, and it's enough with the, like, corny substitutes for swears.
However, Fred, right after John Wallach's headlines, I did find one thing in Carolina that might be better than anything in Boston.
Well, I would listen.
Oh.
I'm looking forward to hearing that.
There is a certain star that came from Carolina that I just discovered yesterday, and Bostonians are missing out, and we're going to have to let them in on this little Carolina secret.
Well, I look forward to hearing it. It's like Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. All right, no commercials here, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.